Chapter 13. In the three-sided shelter formed by the belly and out-thrust legs of one of the dead elephants, they made their camp that night. They drank coffee together, and Sean sat between the two Larue, with his back against the rough skin of the elephant's belly. The silhouettes of the tree against the night sky were deformed by the shapes of the vultures that clustered in them, and the darkness was ugly with the giggling of hyena. They had set a feast for the scavengers. They spoke little, for they were tired, but Sean could feel the gratitude of the men who sat beside him, and before they rolled into their blankets, Jan Paulus said gruffly, "Thank you, Kjell. You might be able to do the same for me one day."
"I hope so, ja. I hope so."
In the morning, Upa said, "It's going to take us 3 or 4 days to cut out all this ivory." He looked up at the sky. "I don't like these clouds. One of us had better ride back to camp to fetch more men and wagons to carry the ivory."
"I'll go." Sean stood up quickly.
"I was thinking of going myself."
But Sean was already calling to Ember Janie to saddle his horse, and Upa couldn't really argue with him, not after yesterday.
"Tell Uma to take the wagons across the river," he acquiesced. "We don't want to get caught on this side when the river floods. Perhaps you wouldn't mind helping her."
"No," Sean assured him, "I don't mind at all."
His horse was still tired from the previous day's hunt, and it was 3 hours before he reached the river. He tied his horse on the bank and went down to one of the pools. He stripped off his clothes and lowered himself into the water. He scrubbed himself with handfuls of the coarse sand, and when he waded out of the pool and dried on his shirt, his skin was tingling. He rode along the bank, and the temptation to gallop his horse was almost unbearable. He laughed to himself a little. "The field's almost clear. I wouldn't put it past that suspicious old Dutchman to follow me." He laughed again, and thought about the colour of her eyes, green as creme de menthe in a crystal glass, and the shape of her bosom. The muscles in his legs tightened, and the horse lengthened its stride in response to the pressure of his knees.
"All right, run then," Sean encouraged him. "I don't insist on it, but I would be grateful."
He went to his own wagons first and changed his sweaty shirt for a fresh one, his leather breeches for clean calico, and his scuffed boots for soft, polished leather. He scrubbed his teeth with salt and dragged a comb through his hair and beard. He saw in the mirror that the battle damage to his face was fading, and he winked at his image. "How can she resist you?" He gave his moustache one more twirl, climbed out of the wagon, and was immediately aware of a most uncomfortable feeling in his stomach. He walked towards the Larue Lager, thinking about it, and he recognized it as the same feeling he used to have when Waite Courtney called him to the study to do penance for his boyhood sins.
"That's odd," he muttered. "Why should I feel like that?"
His confidence faded, and he stopped. "I wonder if my breath smells. I think I'd better go back and get some clothes." He turned with relief, knew it as cowardice, and stopped again.
"Get a grip on yourself.
She's only a girl, an uneducated little Dutch girl. You've had 50 finer women. Name me two."
He shot back at himself.
"Well, there was... Oh, for Christ's sake, come on."
Resolutely, he set off for the Larue Lager again. She was sitting in the sun, within the circle of wagons. She was leaning forward on the stool, and her newly washed hair fell thickly over her face
almost to the ground. With each stroke of the brush, it leapt like a live thing, and the sun sparkled the red lights in it. Sean wanted to touch it. He wanted to twist fistfuls of it round his hands, and he wanted to smell it. It would smell warm and slightly milky, like a puppy's fur. He stepped softly towards her. But before he reached her, she took the shiny mass with both hands and threw it back over her shoulders. A startled flash of green eyes, one despairing wail, "Oh, no, not with my hair like this!" A swirl of skirts that sent the stool flying, and she was gone into her wagon. Sean scratched the side of his nose and stood awkwardly. "Why are you back so soon, Mynheer?" she called through the canvas. "Where are the others? Is everything all right?"
"Yes, they're both fine. I left them and came to fetch wagons to carry the ivory."
"Oh, that's good."
Sean tried to interpret the inflection of her voice. Was it good that they were fine, or good that he had left them? So far, the indications were favourable. Her confusion at seeing him boded well.
"What's wrong?" Uma bellowed from one of the other wagons.
"It's not Upa. Don't tell me something has happened to him."
The wagon rocked wildly, and her pink face, puckered with sleep, popped out of the opening. Sean's reassurances were smothered by her voice.
"Oh, I knew this would happen. I had a feeling I shouldn't have let him go. Paulus, oh, Jan Paulus, I must go to him. Where is he?"
Henrietta came running from the cooking fire behind the wagons, and then the dogs started barking, and the servants added their chatter to the confusion. Sean tried to shout them all down and watch Katrina emerging from her wagon at the same time. She had disciplined her hair now. It had a green ribbon in it and hung down her back. She was laughing, and she helped him to quieten Uma and Henrietta. They brought him coffee. Then they sat round him and listened to the story of the hunt. Sean went into detail on the rescue of Jan Paulus and was rewarded by a softening of the dislike in Henrietta's eyes. By the time Sean had finished talking, it was too late to start moving the wagons across the river. So he talked some more. It was most agreeable to have three women as an attentive audience. And then they had supper. With ostentatious tact, Uma and Henrietta retired early to their respective living wagons and left Sean and Katrina sitting by the fire. At carefully spaced intervals, there was a stage cough from Uma's wagon, a reminder that they were not entirely alone. Sean lit a cheroot and frowned into the fire, searching desperately for something intelligent to say. But all his brain could dredge up was, "Thank God Upa isn't here." He sneaked a glance at Katrina. She was staring into the fire as well, and she was blushing. Instantly, Sean felt his own cheeks starting to heat up. He opened his mouth to talk and made a squawking noise. He shut it again.
"We can speak in English, if you like, Mynheer."
"You speak English?"
Sean's surprise brought his voice back.
"I practice every night. I read aloud out of my books."
Sean grinned at her delightedly. It was suddenly very important that she could speak his language. The dam, holding back all the questions that there were to ask and all the things there were to say, burst, and the words came pouring out over each other. Katrina fluttered her hands when she couldn't find the word she wanted, and then lapsed back into Afrikaans. They killed the short, taut silences with a simultaneous rush of words, then laughed together in confusion. They sat on the edge of their chairs
and watched each other's faces as they talked. The moon came up, a red rain moon, and the fire faded into a puddle of ashes.
"Katrina, it's long past the time decent people were asleep. I'm sure many a Courtney's tired."
They dropped their voices to a whisper, drawing out the last minutes.
"In just 1 minute, girl, I'm coming out to fetch you to bed."
They walked to her wagon, and with each step her skirts brushed against his leg. She stopped with one hand on the wagon step. She wasn't as tall as he'd imagined. The top of her head came to his chin. The seconds slid by as he hesitated, reluctant to touch, strangely frightened to test the delicate thread they had spun together, lest he destroy it before it became strong. Slowly he swayed towards her, and something surged up inside him as he saw her chin lift slightly and the lashes fall over her eyes.
"Good night, Menia Courtney,"
Uma's voice again, loud and with an edge to it. Sean started guiltily.
"Good night."
Katrina touched his arm just above the elbow. Her fingers were warm.
"Good night, Menia. I shall see you in the morning."
She rustled up the steps and slipped through the opening of the canvas. Sean scowled at Uma's wagon.
"Thanks very much. If there is ever anything I can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask."